is my text this evening, the final part or the second part of verse 54 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we read, "Then shall be brought to pass that saying which is written." Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. And where is it written? It's written in Isaiah 25 and the verse 8. So in Isaiah 25 and the verse 8, Isaiah made a statement. Paul is saying to the Corinthians at a certain time that saying will be brought to pass. And what was that saying? Well, the final part of verse 54 tells us, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. And that's what I want to preach this evening on. You will notice that in this text, that death is Paul's subject. And a little earlier in the chapter, verse 26, Paul described death as an enemy of mankind. Now, in life and in our experience, we could have many enemies, many opponents. An enemy is one that works against you for your harm or for your hurt. They don't work for your good. They oppress you, they afflict you, and they work against you for your harm. We have many enemies in this life. We could say that sickness is an enemy. There are certain men who take delight in opposing us and opposing the work of the Lord. And they're maybe described as our enemies, for the Savior himself spoke of that. He said, love your enemies. And so we recognize that there are men who work against us because we preach the gospel, and they are our enemies. Sickness is an enemy of the body. The devil is our enemy. He opposes the soul and wants to destroy the soul in hell. But in verse 26, Paul speaks of death as the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. It's the last one that we will face because it brings to an end our life. On earth, we might say as an enemy that death is a common enemy. It's common to all mankind. Death is the result of sin. And the Bible tells us that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and therefore death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And no matter what your background is, no matter what I think the word today is ethnicity, but whatever your race, the color of your skin, whatever your creed, whatever your social standing, it doesn't matter who you are or the outward characteristics of your life. The reality is mankind, humanity has one, at least one thing in common, and that is a common enemy of death, for we'll all face it. Death, it has to be said, is a consuming enemy. It consumes or destroys the body. Job used that language in Job 19 and 26. He spoke about, though after worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh will I see God. But he went on to speak about his reins being consumed within him. In other words, when he was laid in the dust, when he died and his body went into the dust, his body would totally be consumed. It would return to dust. And in death, we forfeit our physical life on earth. And our body, as God said, though we were made of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, so by death we will return to dust, and our physical life will not only be taken away, but our bodies will be consumed in the ground. Can I say to you that death is a close enemy? David, when he fled from Saul in 1 Samuel 20 verse 3, he said, there's but a step between me and death. How close is a step? One step is closer than you should be to any particular person that you're not in a bubble with at this time. You're to be 2 meters apart, and therefore a step is very close. And David was saying, a wrong step, one step this way or one step that way, and I could die. It was close. My friend, each and every one of us, we do not know what a day may bring forth. And we could be but a step from death. It is, in a sense, a concealed enemy. Thinking of the words of Isaac when he said, I know not the day of my death. How many have got up in the morning to go about their business, and they've been in good health, and yet before the day ends, they are led out in death. The death angel has come, and it was concealed. The enemy, I'm thinking of the nature programs as an illustration, and if you watch some of the large cats as they stalk their prey, the lion or the tiger or the cheetah, and they conceal themselves, sometimes in the undergrowth. You think of even the crocodile, and it conceals itself in the water, and as the zebra or the antelope or the other ones, they come down to drink of the water, it up out of the river and takes them. It's concealed. Their enemy conceals them to the last moment, and out of nowhere drags them down to death. And so is death for each one of us. It's concealed. We don't know when we're going to die. What an enemy this is. But yet, as you read to the end of the chapter, and as you come to our text, you discover that death is not only a common enemy and a consuming enemy, a close enemy and a concealed enemy. Death is a conquered enemy. For it tells us in verse 54 that there's going to come a time when it shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death shall be swallowed up in victory. There is victory over death. I say to you as you listen on, here is an enemy that is real. Here is an enemy that is mighty, that you cannot resist. Here is an enemy that will take you someday and take your physical life on this earth from you, that your soul will then be ushered into eternity. Here is an enemy that is too great for you. You can't dodge it. You can't buy your way out of it. But the good news is, through the gospel, there is victory over death. It has been defeated, and one day our text says it will be completely swallowed up. If something's swallowed up, you think of maybe not so much the crocodile now, but you think of the shark in the water, and the shark comes to swallow up its prey, whether it be human prey or whether it be some other type of prey, and it swallows it up. Whatever it swallows up, it's gone. It's gone forever. There's coming a day when death will be swallowed up in victory. And I wonder, will you know that victory over death? Therefore, tonight I want us to consider and examine the victory over death. Our theme is death swallowed up. And I want to say three things about it. First of all, the means of this victory. If death reigns over humanity, and it does, what means or by what means can we know and experience victory over it? Well, the answer is given in verse 57, where the apostle thanks God. He says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way death can be conquered is through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as the Son of God, He came to this world and he dealt with the cause and the effect and the consequences of death, and he triumphed over it. If you take your Bible, your New Testament, and turn over to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and here we read of Christ dealing with death and dealing with him that had the power of death, namely the devil. It says, for as much then, Hebrews 2 verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that is the Lord Jesus, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He took flesh and blood. He took a human nature. It was a unique human nature because it was sinless. But he took part of the same. It tells us that through death, that is by his death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Humanity is subject to the bondage of death and the fear of death. But the Lord Jesus Christ, by taking flesh and blood, he came into this world to die, that through his death, through his cross work, he took our sin. That's what caused death. Sin was what brought death into the world. And the Bible tells us Christ died for our sins. He's dealt with the cause of death. For he took our sins in his own body to the tree, and he bore the punishment and the penalty for them. Then he actually died in our place. He died for us, paying our penalty and bearing the consequences of our sin. Death was the punishment for sin. And he, as our substitute, bore our penalty and our punishment. And he paid the price for our sin. Thereby, through the cross, he provided forgiveness for our sin. He paid the price of judgment for our sin. By the cross, he defeated the devil and sin, which had the power of death. They were both dealt with. Sin was judged in Christ. And he bore the penalty in dying on the cross, shedding his blood, and in dealing with sin and death in his redemption. He has triumphed over it, and he has conquered it, and he has provided victory over it through his redemption. But he conquered it not only in his redemption at the cross, but he triumphed over it by his resurrection from the grave. In 1 Corinthians 15, just look back to the verses we read, verse 22 and 23. It tells us, for as in Adam all die. In other words, all the seed of Adam die. When Adam sinned, he sinned as the covenant head of all his people. In other words, he represented all his posterity. And in sinning, we sinned in Adam. And Adam's judgment for his sin was death. And because Adam sinned, we were born with a sinful nature from Adam. We can all trace our lineage back to Adam through Noah. And because we are descendants and children of Adam, we will all die because we're all sinners. We sinned in Adam. We received a sinful nature from Adam and Eve. And we sin, therefore we die. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In other words, all of Christ's seed shall be made alive. All in Christ shall live. And it explains in verse 23 that this is the physical resurrection, not merely eternal life within the soul, for it tells us, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. And so this is speaking of that physical resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ, he conquered death for us by his resurrection from the grave, approving of his work, placing the divine stamp and seal of approval upon Christ's work of redemption. The Father raised him from the grave. The third day, Christ not only died for our sins, but the third day, he rose again. And rising again, he conquered and triumphed over death. And he sealed the victory over death so that all in Christ will rise to the power of an endless life. Now the question is this. If Christ has conquered and triumphed over death, and all that are in him will triumph and conquer death, the question is, are you in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? It means to be saved. It means to have been joined in union, saving union with Christ. Listen to that phrase explained biblically. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's speaking about the new birth. And when a man is in Christ, he's born again of the Spirit of God. He's made a new creature. The old habits, the old lusts, the old sinful desires, they're changed. He's regenerated. And all things become new. His new desires. Desires after God. That's what it means to be in Christ. To be born again. To be united to him. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 1. Therefore, he said, he spoke about being in Christ. There was no condemnation. Isn't it amazing? You learn verses from you were a child and you have a busy Sabbath and you go to quote it off the top of your head and it just completely leaves you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ means that you will not be condemned for your sin. You will not be judged for your sin, for it was judged in Christ. It means to be saved from judgment. My friends, we're in Christ by faith. In Christ by the new birth. And it's those in Christ who will triumph over death, who will experience this victory, who will conquer death. And I'm asking you this evening, are you in Christ? Are you saved? Have you been born again? Because it's only through him that we have the means of overcoming and triumphing over this most common and cruel enemy. The second thing I want to draw your attention to tonight is not only the means of this victory over death, but the moment of our victory over death. I draw your attention in our text to the word then. Then shall be brought to pass that saying. All Scripture has a fulfillment. Not one jot or tittle will pass from the law of God till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass. My word shall not pass away. And the fact that Isaiah wrote about this victory 600 years before Christ, and we're 2,000 years beyond that now, 2,500 years have passed since those words were first written by the inspiration of the Spirit, but they're yet to be fulfilled. But don't you be in any doubt about it. There will come a time when it shall be brought to pass. The saying will be fulfilled. Then shall be brought to pass that saying. And when is that time referred to? Well, if you look at verse 51 and 52, it tells us, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Paul's saying there that not all die. There will be saints on the earth when the Lord returns. He's not referring to those that were living in the days of the Apostle Paul or the church at Corinth that he was writing to. He was just using that expression generally. We of the church, of true saints, not all of them will die. In other words, that there will be believers on the earth when Christ returns. But he says we shall all be changed, every one. The dead in Christ and living believers at the time of Christ's return will all be changed. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And that's an important little phrase, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And it's speaking about the resurrection of the righteous. When does the resurrection take place? Well, these verses simply identify it as at the last trump. The last trump. There's a series of prophetic trumpets. You read about them in the book of the Revelation, but what happens at the last trump? The resurrection takes place. And if you just turn over for a moment to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's often quoted when a believer in Christ passes away. But in verse 16, it tells us, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised. This is a cross-reference text to 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 and 52. It speaks about the dead in Christ rising. That's the resurrection of the saints. That's the resurrection of believers. And it says that it will happen at the sound of the trumpet in verse 16. For the trump of God is sounded. The last trump. But do you notice it also tells us something else of that moment? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. This is nothing else than the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he came the first time. He came as the infant born of Mary in the manger in Bethlehem. But the Bible states, and did state from Old Testament times, that he would come the second time. Enoch prophesied that he would come with 10,000s of his saints on the judgment. When the Lord, having come the first time, died, rose again, ascended into heaven to provide redemption and conquer the enemies of his people, the devil, sin, death, having ascended into heaven, he'll come again. One day he'll leave the Father's right hand. When he ascended into heaven, the Father said to him, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes, thine enemies, thy footstool. There's coming a day when he will leave the Father's right hand and he will gather the angels and the souls of those departed into heaven, and he will leave heaven and he will descend through the air and he will come again. And his feet shall stand. He'll descend right down through the sky. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. And as he's descending, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And their bodies will rise from the grave. And their souls will descend from heaven with Jesus. And body and soul will be reunited. And those living saints then will be caught up to meet them in the air. And at that time, the body and reunited soul, Paul tells us, the corruptible body will put on incorruption. The mortal body will put on immortality. And at that time, when we will be glorified in perfection, then shall death be swallowed up in victory. Death shall be vanquished, finally, fully, forever. Paul spoke about that new body. He said and spoke of it, not only putting on incorruption and immortality, he spoke about it being raised in glory and power, verse 43. He spoke about it being raised a spiritual body in verse 44. And then there shall be no more death. Death will be vanquished fully, finally, and forever. Let me just say and clarify. There is a sense in which the believer triumphs over death when he is converted. For he receives everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And when we're saved, the Spirit enters in. We're given eternal and everlasting life within our soul. And therefore we triumph in a sense over death when we're converted. There's a hymn that talks about, I shall live forever, I shall never die. And that's true, our soul will never perish. We'll never die the second death. And when we have the Savior entered into our souls, we experience eternal life. And in that sense, we triumph over death. We'll triumph over death too at the point of physical death. For when our bodies die, the soul departs the body and enters into heaven where there is no more death. And we are with Christ, which is far better. When our physical bodies die, our souls live on. And in that sense, we have triumphed over death. Those that are in Christ. But the ultimate, the final, and the full victory over death for the believer in Christ comes at that moment when the Lord descends. The graves are open. Body and soul is reunited and glorified. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Death is swallowed up in victory. Let me come thirdly this evening to the magnitude of this victory. We've thought about the means. It's only through Jesus Christ. There's no other means of victory or escape from death. It's only in Jesus Christ and His work. We have thought about the moment of this victory, the moment of its fullness or its consummation. It's the moment of Christ's return, the resurrection. Think of the magnitude of this victory. In other words, the tremendous effect that it has on the individual who knows he has triumphed and will triumph over death. Really looking at those verses that follow our text, verse 55 and 56, it's as if Paul is speaking directly to death. It's as if death is standing right before him. And he looks death in the eye. And he asks him the question, O death, where is thy sting? And he looks at the grave, 6, 8, 10, 12 foot in the ground. He looks at the grave. He says, O grave, where is thy victory? My friend, if you are not a Christian, if you're not in Christ, if you're not saved, then I have to tell you tonight that there is a sting in death. Paul answers this question. The sting of death is sin. And you die in your sin. My friend, what a sting that will be. It's the sting of judgment. It's the sting of condemnation. My friend, that sting is an eternal sting where your sin will be justly and rightly punished forever in the place the Bible calls hell. That's what death opens up for the unbeliever. And if you're not a Christian, then there is a sting in death for you. And if you're not a Christian, then the grave will have victory over you, because it will swallow you up, consume you, and your soul will enter into hell. And at the second coming of Christ, your body and soul will be reunited to face the second death in the lake of fire, which is forever. There's a sting in death. The grave will have the victory over any that are not in Christ. But it's as if Paul, he's looking at death standing before him, and he says, where is your victory? Or where is your sting and grave? Where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But, you have one of the great buts in the Bible. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's as if Paul is looking at death in the eye, and it's as if he's mocking death. It's as if he has this confidence and absolutely no fear of death. Because through Christ, death will not conquer him, but he will conquer death. My friend, you can face death without any fear. No fear of the sting. No fear of being triumphed over by death. But rather conquering death through Jesus Christ. And it's as if Paul just has this confidence and knowledge. Death will not have the final say over me. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is to face death knowing it's defeated, it's conquered, and one day it will be completely swallowed up. And we will rise above it and against it, new bodies, to be with the Lord eternally. Friend, is that your hope? Is that your confidence? Or are you still held in the grip and the fear, the bondage of death? Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death defeated, death conquered, death triumphed over. Friend, I trust that you will experience it. Experience it for yourself through Jesus Christ and His salvation.